Matthew chapter number 9. I don't know what it is, but I'd just soon not, be honest with you. I just about want to crawl up under this pulpit and cry like a baby for about an hour.
Amen.
Lord sure has been good to me this week.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Matthew chapter number 9. Simple little thought tonight. And one of those deals where I'm not sure if this is what the Lord wants me to do or not. So I'm just going to do it and pray He blesses it. Amen. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 36. Everybody there, say amen.
Amen.
Y'all glad you saved, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Let's pray. Father, as we come to You this evening, Lord, I pray that You would take what we're about to say and God, use it to be a help and a blessing to Your people tonight. God, do something in our hearts. Draw us closer to You. And Father, we'll thank You and praise You for it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 36, the Bible said, but when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion. I want you to think about this thought just for a few minutes tonight. What is motivating you? There is a driving force behind everything you do. There's a reason. If you get up and go to work tomorrow, why would that be? Come on, talk to me. Paycheck on Friday, is that right? I mean, if I wasn't getting a paycheck on Friday, I wouldn't go on Monday, amen? You're not doing it for your health, you're doing it for a paycheck, right? There's a motivating force behind everything you do. You love your wife because she loves you back, amen? Now I want you to think about for a few minutes tonight what motivated the Lord Jesus Christ. He left heaven. He left the cherubim and the seraphim that flew around His head night and day and cried, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He left that.
Yeah.
Not to come to a castle, but to come to a barn. Not to take on the robe of royalty, but to take on the robe of flesh.
Yeah.
He left what He was and became what I am. What motivated Him to do that? Think about it. What was the driving force behind the Lord Jesus when He left heaven? And then think about this tonight. What will be the driving force that causes you to get on your bus Sunday morning? What will motivate you to go to your Sunday school class Sunday morning? What will motivate you to be a mother to your children tomorrow? You ever have those days when you would just rather not? Come on, you can be honest. You would just rather throw up your hands and when the kids holler, Mama, she ain't here. Come on, talk to me. But something keeps you going on day after day after day. And I want to look for a few minutes tonight at what motivates us to do what we do. Sunday morning, the bus team sat in the balcony. They were belligerent, to say the least. They were awful. My attention seemed to be more drawn to what was going on in the balcony than what was going on in the pulpit. Somebody said, kick them to the curb. I can't.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I just can't. There's something inside me that just will not say, you're through, you can't come back. What is it? It's love. We don't have the greatest music program in the world. We don't meet to entertain on Sunday morning. There are far better shows in town than what we have. But I think we have something. I think when they march those bus kids down the aisles on Pastor Appreciation Day and whatever other day it is that they bring them in, and I watch the tears flow down the people's faces, it's love. It's love. Will you teach your class Sunday morning because you're supposed to? Do you ever do it out of duty? Come on. Do you ever do it out of duty? Because you're supposed to. Some of you are here tonight because you're supposed to be. You would rather be home watching American Idol. Say amen right there. But you're here because you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
I like it a whole lot better when I'm here because I want to be.
Amen.
I like it a whole lot better when I'm getting ready for church and I'm 30 minutes early and my wife said, what's the hurry? And I'm just in a rush. I want to go. I got a message and I'm burning to preach. But then there are those nights when I walk out the door like this. And she says, what's the matter, honey? I don't know if I got it. And I go out of duty. I go because I'm supposed to. I go because I'm your pastor. Is it okay to be honest? Some of y'all can't handle that a whole lot. The Bible said in verse number 36, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. I'm afraid sometimes we're like those little monkeys. Hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil. Is that right? Sometimes I think we need to move our little hands. We get so wrapped up in what is us, our family, our home, our life, that we block out everything else. Sometimes I think we need to open our eyes and see the multitude. Do you understand tonight that this thing is bigger than you and me? I did not come to the pulpit tonight for Eddie Wyatt. It's bigger than me. You did not walk into this place tonight for you. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than the Patch Club. It's bigger than the Pee Wee Club. It's bigger than the teen organization. It's bigger than the bus ministry. Hey, it's bigger than Billerica, Georgia.
Amen.
When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. What did he see? How many of you go to the mall? Come on. I love to go to the mall. I'm a people watcher. I give my wife a debit card and say, help yourself, and I sit on a bench and I sit there and I watch people. I got a freak scale. I do. That's a 10. You know, you just kind of watch them walk through the mall. What do you see when you see the world? The Lord said that they were scattered abroad. He saw their departure from God. If there's anything missing in America, it is her departure from God. In God we trust. One nation under God is a thing of the past. No longer do we hear our government officials talking about God and putting Him at the head of everything. Hey, listen, America has departed from God. Oh, yes. When I worked in the public school system, if we prayed over our meal in the public lunchroom, we had to do it silently. Why? Because America has departed from God. He said they were scattered abroad. They were just everywhere. And if there was anything that would describe America tonight, that's where we are. We're everywhere. We're all over the map, man. We're all over the page. We're all over the book. I mean, we're Buddhist. We're Muslim. We're Islam. We're, you name it, man. It's out there. I grew up in the 70s. I could not imagine anybody openly stating they were a Satanist. But today, that's the norm. Jesus looked on that crowd and He said, man, they're scattered abroad. They departed from God. There was 400 silent years here when nobody told them about God. When those bus kids walk in here on Sunday morning, do you ever wonder what they hear all week long? Do y'all ever think about that? While you're looking down your Pharisaical nose at them, and while you're wondering why is the preacher put up with this, and why don't he kick them to the curb, and why don't they take them home? Do you ever wonder what they hear all week long? If they hear God's name, it's in vain. I wonder how many times a day they hear it. GD this, and GD that. We have them for 2 hours. That's all we've got. We've got 2 hours to open up a cold black heart and pour a little bit of God in it before they get back on the bus and go home. Most of them are so messed up on medicine. I can tell you when them kids walk in here who's off their meds. They're just strung out on Ritalin and I don't know what all the other stuff is they give them. The Lord said when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion on them because they were fainted and were scattered abroad. If we have a job, Happy Valley, it's to bring them back. You say, what is my goal for my Sunday school class? Get them to the Lord. What is my goal for my couples class? What is my goal for the teen group? What is my goal for the patch club? Get them to the Lord. They are scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They have a departure from God. We have to be careful in our Sunday school classes. Because when we teach on a basic level, some of our kids who have been raised in church since they were born, it gets boring to them. It would amaze you how many of the children that come in on these buses, they don't know who Abraham is. They don't know who Isaac is. They don't know who Joseph is. The things you and I take for granted, they have no idea. They have absolutely no idea. If I mention Joseph and his coat of many colors, everybody in here knows what that is. The average bus kid has no idea. Why? Because there's a departure from God. When I was a little boy, Brother Jay may know her first name, I do not, but Miss Cole was my second grade school teacher. Clyde Cole was her husband. I don't know her first name. Gladys Cole. Every morning in my second grade class, Miss Gladys Cole would open her Bible and say, "Sit down, kids, and shut up. Miss Cole's going to read the book." She never called it the Bible. She called it the book. She said, "I'm going to read the book." And she opened that Bible every school day morning and read a chapter from the Word of God. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Every day we started our day with a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and we prayed and we read the Bible. Our kids don't have that today. Every now and then she'd get to reading through Psalms and big old tears would run down her face, Brother Freddie. It was real to her. We've walked a long way from where we began. I don't really know what I'm doing tonight, but just maybe to remind you what we're dealing with on Sunday mornings. Some people are talking behind my back, behind our leadership's back, about these teenagers. I've got it under control. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. But God's timing is important. Do you understand that? There is a departure from God in America. I can't do anything about the whole country, but I can do something about that balcony. I can't do anything about Philadelphia. I can't do anything about Washington, D.C., but I can do something about Villarica, Georgia. Amen. Amen. So when you turn up your nose at them, when you get that little bit of an attitude because they're interrupting your normal Sunday morning worship service, you just hang on. We okay tonight? We're doing our best to bring them from where they are, out of the hell that they're in, out of the godless environment that they're in, and we're trying to introduce them to somebody that they do not know, and that's God. He saw their departure from God. He said they were scattered abroad. He said because they fainted, He saw their depravity in sin. Their depravity in sin. Do you know what a wicked nation we live in? Somebody stopped me in the parking lot before I could ever get to my truck on Sunday afternoon and they said, "Brother Eddie, one of those kids was cussing in the balcony." Duh. One of them said, "MF." Are you shocked? I've had them cuss me. Why don't you stop for a minute and remember where you came from and remember the language that used to come out of your mouth? Hey man, he saw their departure from God, but he also saw their depravity and sin. Man, there's nothing wrong with them. That was not wrong with me. Before I was saved, every other word out of my mouth was filthy. Filthy. Things I would not even want to imagine tonight came out of my mouth and came out of many of your mouths while we were depraved in sin. We were born in sin. We were born with a sin nature and with a curse of Adam on us. But thanks be unto God, He came where we was. I said He came where we was. I said He came where we was and brought us up out of what we were in. He'll do the same thing for them. We just need to be careful, church. You say, why are you preaching this tonight? For them. What's that big tall boy's name? Isaiah? Isaiah. I hate his guts. I do my best to knock him out in the hall every time I say, wow. He said, yo, man, you hit me, dude. I said, yeah, hold still, I'm going to do it again. I don't hate him, I'm kidding. If there's a kid on them buses, knows his preacher loves him. It's that boy. From what I understand, we had to kick him off. Because he can't behave. And he's keeping others from coming to know Christ. Do you know all the problem is sin? The only problem is sin. The only problem is his sin nature. It's natural to him. It's natural for that girl to bow up in the balcony and cuss you like a dog. When you stick your finger in her face and tell her to sit down and shut her mouth, it's only natural for her to bow up at you. That's all she knows. That's all she knows. One Sunday, I'm going to move along here and quit, but one Sunday they, and this rarely happens, but one Sunday they sent for me. A little boy was totally out of control. He was screaming and cussing. I'll never forget it. I walked out of the sanctuary during the song service. I found him up under the awning going into the gym, and they were trying to constrain him. He was wild, Brother Jay. And I put my arms around that little boy, and I just started saying, I love you. 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 A few minutes, he laid his little head on my shoulder. Where would you be? Jesus not said, I love you. I love you. You wicked, hell-deserving sinner. You foul-mouthed individual. You filthy son of a gun. You, I love you. I love you. I love you. He saw their departure from God. He saw their depravity in sin. Some of you have been farther than those kids have been. I remember Thomas Hogus when he pulled in this parking lot in his lowrider truck and his big pimp chain hanging down from his side. Oh yeah, y'all laugh. That's the way he was. He was what they call a skinhead. The people that he serves now are the people that he hated. He hated Isaiah, not because of who he was, but because of the color he was. But now God's got him in a place every week where he kneels and prays with him. Woo! Somebody will say amen right there. Man, ain't it amazing how God can pull you up out of what you hate and make you love it? Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah, man. I know I passed from death unto life because I love the brethren. Amen. He saw their departure from God. They were scattered abroad. He saw their depravity and sin because they fainted. He saw their destiny in hell. Outside of this place, what can Grip hope for? What can Isaiah hope for?
Church, I hate it. But God's put us in their path. We're probably going to start up a new teen bus church here pretty soon. We're going to do something. We're going to go to whatever length it takes to get to them what they need.
Yep.
Why? Because they'll die and go to hell without us.
Yes, sir.
I look at those kids as they come in and out and run up and down the hallways, and Brother David is our disciplinarian. Stop, don't run. You know. He turned his back the other day. One of them little black kids said, I didn't do it. Just use your imagination. He gave him that one finger wave. David didn't know it. And I didn't tell him. He flipped him off. I said, boy. Every time I see those children, I try to do this. I try to go back to a single wide trailer. I try to go back to a single mom and a brand new baby sister. I try to go back to a four-year-old boy watching cartoons when a bus worker came and knocked on my door.
Amen.
Somebody said, you sure do brag on Jay a whole lot. He led me to Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He'd go out and chop somebody's head off with an axe. He led me to Christ. He came to my house on a Saturday morning in 1972 and put me on a bus the very next day and told me about God. That nullifies everything else in my book. He get away with a whole lot with me because of that one thing. You know what? One day, there is a kid who will sit in that gym or in this balcony Sunday morning, Easter. They'll sit in this balcony, and 20 years from now, they may be standing behind a pulpit and say in 1900 or 2009, it's hard to keep up with, somebody knocked on my door. Put me on a bus. Carried me to Happy Valley Baptist Church. They ushered us off into a gymnasium. Brother Greg Godfrey put a guitar around his neck and began to sing to us and told us about Jesus. Who knows? Who knows? What motivated Jesus? He saw their departure from God. And somehow he said, I've got to bring them back. He saw their depravity in sin. Man, they're wicked. But he didn't say it in a judgmental state. He said it in a broken-hearted state. When you see those kids, do they make you mad or do they break your heart? Think about it real hard tonight. Do they make you mad or do they break your heart? What if they had half the chance your children have? Half the chance. He saw their departure from God, their depravity and sin. He saw their destiny in hell. He saw their future. We see them in jail. I do. I look at Grip. You look good in orange, boy. I told him. I sat him down in my office. I said, Grip, you like orange? Why? I said, because that's what you're going to wear the rest of your life. We see him in jail. But Jesus looks a little beyond jail. And he sees eternity.
My little brother's sitting here tonight. My daddy called my mama on the phone years ago and said, that boy's going to be dead or in jail. But I'm glad the Lord looked a little beyond. He looked a little beyond dead. He looked a little beyond jail. And he said, no, he's going to be in hell if I don't step in and do something about his life. He saw their destiny in hell. I used to do this when I was a young Christian, and I quit, and I don't know why. I used to walk through the mall, used to walk through the Walmart, and I used to try to picture people on fire. You ever tried that? Burning. I mean, just look at a young teenage girl with fire shooting out of her eye sockets. Listen to a young teenage boy with a great big attitude and his britches dropped down around his hips. Look at him with fire shooting out of his ears. Skin melting off his face. That's what the Lord saw. And that's what we've got to see. We've got to see their departure from God. We've got to see their depravity and sin. We've got to see their destiny in hell. Without Jesus, hell's their only hope. Without Jesus, hell's your only hope. Lord God, Amanda, me and Brother Freddie, and I think Eric Knight, walked into a restaurant. What if we had not? We weren't your Savior. He was. But we told you about Him. You know what she looked at me in my face and said? I live right by your church. You won't come visit me. Hands on her hips. All cocky attitude. You will not come to my house. She walked away from our table and I told Eric Knight, I said, you go visit that house Saturday. You're fired. Eric called me that Sunday, Saturday afternoon. He said, Brother Eddie, you ain't going to believe it. He said, you know that crazy Fruit Loop waitress we met down at the Greasy Spoon? I said, yeah, I remember. He said, I went to her house and I met her husband. He said, believe it or not, he's sane. He said he got saved right there on the porch. Hallelujah. What's the difference in them and them? He saw their departure from God. He saw their depravity and sin, their destiny in hell. And the Bible said, he said, having no shepherd. He saw their despair without a shepherd. Do you know what the youth of America is doing? They're following. They're following. They're following Snoop Dogg, 50 Cent. Come on. They're following anybody who will show them the way. You know what they need? They need a shepherd. They need a bus worker. They need a Sunday school teacher. Hey, they just need a godly Christian in the church that'll put their arm around them and say, let me show you the way. It was a long time from the day he picked me up on my front doorstep as a four-year-old boy till I was 19 years old. What is that, 15 years? 15 years. 15 years went by. And I went and I partied and I played and I did all the things I thought I had to do. But when the Lord came and convicted my heart, you know who I had to find? My mama said, son, I can tell you how to be saved. I said, get me to Jay. Get me to Jay. Get me to Jay. I gotta find Jay. What was it? It was the first person that ever said, that-a-way, son. That-a-way, son. I never forgot it. And they'll never forget it.
Hey, we may lose them for a while, but look out. They may knock on the door in the middle of the night and say, I'm dying and I'm on my way to hell. Show me the way one more time. You know what they need? They need a shepherd. There's a bunch of people in this community who don't speak English. Somebody left our church, and I'm glad they did. They made the statement, I guess Brother Eddie's going to bring all the Mexicans in here now. Yeah, you stinking heifer. Hit the road. I don't feel bad about it. You prejudice, you better get over it. You know what God did? God set somebody right down in the middle of this place who could tell them Jesus loves them. I can tell them about Taco Bell. That's as far as I can go. He can tell them Jesus died for them. He may get a little discouraged when they don't a whole big crowd show up. Well, what if one does? And he says, hey, so Christo, did I get it right? I did something. And he points them to Jesus. He takes that little Bible he's got that don't make sense. It's half NIV and half KJV. I'm kidding. It's half English and half Spanish. I think it's KJV on both sides. I can only tell you about one side. They need a shepherd. You know where we fall so short? We get so caught up in our lives. I'm so caught up in what's going on in my life and Katie's graduation and Katie's senior trip and blah, 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 on and on and my taxes and this and that. I forget there's somebody out there. And I fall short in my shepherding. Did you know if you're saved, you're a shepherd? Let me ask you this. Who's under your wing? Who are you helping along the way? Who have you pulled in and said, hey, I noticed you're new in our church. I'd like to be your friend. Here's my cell phone number. Call me if you need me. Here's where I live. Here's my number. Huh? We're so selfish, ain't we? Well, preacher, I'm just trying to get me figured out. You know what will help you get you figured out? Start worrying about somebody else. Yes. My wife went over to sit with our daughter tonight. They put her back in the bed. She said, honey, we've got this, 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 this. And I said, I know. I said, but I've got the heaviest counseling appointment after church that I've had all year. She said, you know what? Forget about what I said. She said, I'll take care of this. She said, and I'll pray you'll be a blessing and a help. You know what? There's enough to go around. You may not think there is. But there's enough to go around. Yeah. Rusty, you can be somebody's friend. John, these little boys around here, man, they think you all that. I know better, but they think you all that. You know what you could do? You could pull one of them right up under your arms. Amen. And say, let me show you how to do it for Jesus, son. Sister Laurie, I watch these little old mothers, the way they look at you and Ashley. Man, they think y'all something. They do.
When I brag on y'all on Sunday morning, boy, they'll just, every eye in this place turns and they look at y'all like, whoo. They think, I know y'all something. They think y'all something. God only knows whose lives we have the opportunity to touch. What's motivating you? Why are you going to get up tomorrow? Why are you going to run that bus route Saturday? Why are you going to walk back in that junior church on Sunday morning, Brother Thomas? Why are you going to do it? Amen. It ain't because of the appreciation. Because they don't. It's expectation. They show up and expect you to be there with your big bald head. Yeah, and your goatee. Oh, yeah. You know the first thing out of their mouth, you wasn't there one Sunday? Where Tom? Where Thomas? They miss him, boy. I want to keep my motives right. I want to keep doing it for the right reason. I want to keep a handle on it, and I want to keep a balance, and I want to do things right. But be careful what you say. Bless God if I was Brother Eddie. Be careful. Please be careful. They belong to Him. I know they ought to be in jail. I know. But be careful. What if Isaiah was your son? What if Grip was your little boy? Would you be a little bit more compassionate? Would you say, preacher, one more time? One more chance, preacher, one more chance. Don't kick him to the curb yet. Let's give him one more shot.
Yes, sir.
I know we can't let one disrupt the whole. I know that. But be careful how you think. Why don't you try this on Sunday morning? On Sunday morning. And I've got pictures I can bring you and put in your wallet and you can look at them. On Sunday morning, why don't you see me running up and down them halls? Why don't you try that? You know what the deacons at White Oak Springs did, and I'm done? Kenneth Corin, chairman of the board of deacons, took me in the bus office, bent me over a table, took a paddle, whipped my tail, Doug Baxter hit me upside the head with a tree limb. I'm serious. You could do that back then. It was legal. Brother Greg Godfrey, who's out teaching to our teenagers tonight, walked up in the middle of Sunday school class and stood right between me and Roger Bush, both of us sound asleep, jacked our jaws. Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought? I'm glad somebody saw my departure from God. I'm glad somebody saw my depravity and sin. That was my only problem. My problem wasn't a broken home. My problem wasn't a single parent. My problem was sin.
Yeah.
That's their problem. It's the only thing. It's just sin. I'm glad somebody saw my destiny in hell. I'm glad when the deacon stood up and said, we're not running those buses and we're not bringing them trashy kids in here. I'm glad somebody reached in their pocket and got their own money. Said, I'll go get them. I'll pay for it myself. That man right there did that. Fought the whole church. Stood against the pastor. Stood against the deacon board. And said, I'm going to get Eddie White. Think about what an opportunity we've got.
Somebody said, "Preacher, we need to get some rich people." Who needs them?
Amen.
Who needs them? Let's be motivated right. I double dog dare you. Just stand in the hallway by my office Sunday morning and watch them as they come through. Just stand there Sunday morning and watch them as they stick their hands in my door and go, "What's up, preacher man?" I don't know what that is, but they give me one ever. "What's up, preacher man?" Well, Isaiah stick his head in my office. He said, "You gonna jack me up today?" I said, "If I get half a chance, I get up behind this desk and I can catch you." You know what he's wanting? He wants somebody to love him just a little bit. Even if it's a knock upside his head. Let's see their departure from God. Let's see their depravity and sin. That's all that's wrong with them. The only thing wrong with them is the only thing wrong with me and you. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Let's see their destiny in hell. Instead of seeing a belligerent, rebellious teenager, try seeing one Sunday with their hair on fire. Try seeing them in eternity screaming where their worm dieth not. Where there's weeping and waving and gnashing of teeth. Let's see them as having no shepherd. Hey, could it be me? Could it be me that points one of them the way? Could it be? This thing ain't all about Brother Eddie. It's about you. When the little black girls come down out of that balcony and gets in this altar, you ought to just fall all over her. Well, she ain't had nobody else do it except in a bad way. Maybe God put you on the scene just to be her shepherd. Maybe God put you here just to show that one little black girl that there's a God in heaven who knows how to love in the right way. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I didn't mean for this to be about the bus kids tonight. Kind of seemed to went that way. But you know what? It could be about any kid. It could be about any adult. It's not just bus kids. It's everybody. That little fella comes in with his girlfriend. They ain't married. They shacked up. And they sit on our pews every Sunday. He's got earrings in both ears. And she's got tattoos. You know what they need? They need a friend. Instead of somebody looking down their nose at them, they need somebody to put their arm around them and say, "Hey, what's your name? Quit being so stinking judgmental. Think about where you were.
Amen.
Think about what God pulled you up out of." You say, "Well, I don't think that girl ought to dress that way." Well, I remember when you didn't dress that way. Y'all okay? What motivated the Lord? He saw the multitude. We ought to go out of this place tonight with this prayer: "Lord, open my eyes. Let me see it at work. Let me see it at the mall. Let me see it down at Walmart. God, open my eyes. Don't let me see the punk. Let me see the kid burning in hell. Don't let me see the thug, but Lord, let me see the one that just needs you." I don't know if Sister Janice is still in here or not. She's not. We're just going to have the altar call.
I hope you'll pick you up a prayer sheet tonight.